Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. So much of medicine ain't about medicine.
Mm-mm.
It's about money. It's about, that woman there's got money. I know it. I need to get some out of her purse, but I don't want to steal it. Or I want to legally steal it. How can I do it? Hey, I got it. You tried to get pregnant, didn't work the first two times around? I can sell you in vitro fertilization or whatever, fertility. We have a neighbor that's going through this right now.
Mm.
And I feel like walking over to her house because she tells all the ladies in the neighborhood that it's not working. Let's go get this test done. Let's go get that test done. No one even considers, there are so few women today, and it's got to be an educational thing. They don't even consider that maybe there isn't something wrong. Maybe you're just not doing it at the right time. Or maybe there are physiological things that you could address that actually will increase your chances mm-hmm. of pregnancy.
And that's why Napro is so successful.
Okay.
Because in vitro, it's like a Band-Aid. Right? It's part of the control lie that women are fed. Like, women's healthcare is all based on this premise that we're in control of our fertility, and we're not. It's too powerful. We can respect it and work with it, because that's how God designed us. So Napro...
I was going to say, that sounds very Christian, ma'am. What do you mean you're not in control? We're men. We're women. This is 2017. You and I have iPhones. We're in control of everything.
Yeah, we're not in control of our fertility. Look, trust me, if I was in control of my fertility, right, I wouldn't have seven babies in heaven. You know, like, that's what it comes down to. We're not in control. And in vitro is the other end of the control spectrum. We've got birth control, right, industry, abortion, all about control. IVF, it's about control. So Napro says, wait a minute, we understand how the feminine body is supposed to work, and we look at underlying causes for the reasons why conception is a problem. We look for underlying causes as to why your cycles are painful, underlying causes as to why you're having fertility issues. And they treat the underlying causes, which then lets the woman not only increase her chances of being able to conceive and carry a pregnancy, but it treats her whole person. It makes her healthy. That's huge. Like, that's a completely different scenario than in the case of, like, IVF, where it's, let me force your body to do something it won't do and treat you like some sort of science experiment. Like, that's not pro-woman.
You know what it sounds like, Christopher? It sounds to me like Laura needs to hear a little plankton. Because if we can just get the recipe to the Krabby Patty, well, then everyone will have to eat at the Chum Bucket, and I will rule the world. It really does. It does. It comes down to control. You know, the gentleman that filled in for me yesterday, David Simpson, was talking about this, but he was talking about it from another point of view, that not only are we trying to control fertility, we're trying to control broken arms, scabbed knees, stubbed toes, lacerations on the ear, you name it. I was talking in the first segment of the program, doctors and clinics that used to wrap arms, children's arms up in cast, are sitting there like the Maytag refrigerator repairman, staring at the emergency room exit like, all I ever get are car accidents. No kid ever fell out of a tree when I was on triage. We're trying to control everything. We can control energy, fertility, you name it. It's all part of the same arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Same the same point of view, same mindset that leads to, well, no, I'm going to make a test tube baby, and then we're going to have in vitro. The same thought that because we have the science, that we got to use the science, and that the science is king, and that, well, you know, that God guy, he went out with the 80s. We don't need him anymore.
So enjoy today, Mr. Krabs, because by tomorrow I'll have the formula. Then everyone will eat at the chum bucket, and I will rule the world!
It sounds like an in vitro and an IVF doctor, doesn't it?
It's sad. Women deserve better than that, you know?
Laura Ricketts is with the Women's Pro-Life Conference here, and we're in the ballroom that you'll be speaking in, and that the event will kick off with this evening. Next door it kicks off at the VIP.
VIP reception.
With Abby Johnson. I'm going to ask you about that in just a moment here. So we're here in the room where most of the action will take place. Plankton really does sound like an IVF doctor or a fertility doctor. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and you make me think about this. What was a fertility doctor called before there were fertility doctors? Midwives?
Yeah, midwives.
Doulas? Disco doulas?
Hey, now, she taught me everything I know.
But there actually were, but this knowledge was there before IVF, correct?
But more natural, you know, like the understanding of the woman's body and how she's designed to work, and then we kind of lost that.
One of the stories that I have in my pile of prep today is about this woman who wanted to join Pride Month. So her effort to join Pride Month was to, this is what femininity is now, according to Cosmopolitan magazine. Grow your armpit hair out 2 inches long, right? Get red, green, and yellow hair dye, and then dye it like it's a rainbow. And then you can show your armpit hair rainbow pride. And they have pictures of this at Cosmopolitan's website. I saw it this morning. I'm looking at it going, like, really, dude? This is another part of this assault on the natural order, which is that, there's a line from a woman, from a movie that I have somewhere on my hard drive here, that all women are, it's David Spade, I know what it is, all women are two drinks away from a girl-on-girl experience, is what the line is. Femininity has been reduced down now to sexuality. It's not femininity anymore. Mm-hmm. Femininity. It is sexuality purely for the purpose of pleasure, for pleasurable
gratification.
Sex. Gratification, exactly. As if there is no gratification in child rearing.
Right.
No gratification in that whatsoever. You have four, right?
I do.
Four.
Yeah.
She has nine. And she was telling us about all the gratifying things that happened. What will we hear here at the Pro-Life Conference about that? Is there a speaker that touches on that?
You know, it's great because that is so motherhood, the idea of motherhood and the feminine abilities is so ingrained in all of our topics. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's why we're having a panel with these, the pro-life physicians, with the adverse diagnosis panel, really touching on when motherhood is hard. Or when even achieving motherhood is hard, and how as a woman we're all called to mother, right? Like, let me get a little JP2 on you because I can do that here. He says every woman is a mother by our nature, right? And so everything that we do as women, this beautiful feminine genius, that's what you see on display at this conference. It imbues every aspect, and it has to. Of this pro-life movement, of this conference, pro-life women, you mother, whether you're mothering as a verb, as a noun, or both.
Right.
You know, we mother our children, we mother each other, we mother the world, like, and that's what we were created to do.
And I think of the greatest mother, of course, is the mother of God.
Amen.
I mean, most people don't perceive of this or don't think about it like this, but you have the greatest example of motherhood in Our Lady. and all that Our Lady did, and all that, that we have 29 years missing from the time Mary and Joseph go to Egypt and the time that the baptism and then the wedding at Cana, basically. But in those ensuing years, Jesus, JC, had to do something. So he was being raised by Joseph and by Mary. And, you know, his public conduct is obviously a product of that rearing. But there's no credit for this. I don't even think there's any concept of this, that he had to be mannered and taught just like any other kid. No, you did wrong. No, you're not supposed to do that. Or no, this is how you do that. So we have the greatest example that we could ever have. And look at all the things that she has done, mothering after the fact, showing up at Lepanto, showing up at Vienna, showing up at Lourdes, showing up at, I mean, it could go on, the list could go on and on and on and on. Mary is not thought of, though, as mother. Mm-hmm. But the irony is that maybe some actually do think of her as only mother, as in child giver, birth giver, and nothing beyond that. And there's certainly, of course, it extends way beyond that. I wanted to ask you, tell me a little bit about the biography of Abby Johnson, who is one of the keynote speaker here.
She is. She's also the brains behind the Pro-Life Women's Conference.
Okay.
She was a former director of Planned Parenthood. She ran one of the Planned Parenthood affiliates in Texas. It's actually the most successful Planned Parenthood affiliate there. She received the Planned Parenthood. She's at the award dinner that Hillary Clinton received the award from Planned Parenthood for. I mean, she was in there. And she was assisting in an ultrasound-guided abortion and realized that that baby was a human and she couldn't do it anymore. And so at that time, she was the director of the clinic. She went back to her office and she really wrestled with the idea that she couldn't dehumanize those babies any longer. And so she ended up leaving. She left Planned Parenthood. She walked next door to the pregnancy center that was next door and said, hey, I need to quit my job and I need help. And that started this chain reaction where not only did she then have a conversion, she's now a very faithful Catholic. She's a beautiful family. She just had twin baby girls. They're here. I got to hold them yesterday. But in that process of leaving and exposing some of what goes on behind those doors of Planned Parenthood, she realized that as a pro-life movement, we were very focused on the baby. And then we realized, well, we should probably focus on the mom too, right? And then she took it a step further and said, hey, if we are pro-life, we can't dehumanize anybody,
right?
Including the abortion clinic workers. Their lives have to matter too. Their souls have to matter too. There's nothing for them. She's like, when I quit Planned Parenthood, I didn't have anybody to help me. I'm going to start a ministry that helps women and men, we've helped both, leave the abortion industry.
Right.
And that's what we do. And then there were none.
And that's abortionworker.com.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then there were none.